Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A prominent Central College alum was in town for homecoming. Let's go in-depth with Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg. Lieutenant Governor, what brings you to Pella today?
Well, I am, of course, a Central College grad, as you may know, and I'm going to be enjoying the homecoming festivities here at Central and shaking some hands and saying hi to some old friends and hopefully watching the Dutch get their fifth victory of the year.
Yeah, so they're doing great this year, and Pella's crowded this morning, a lot of people coming.
Yeah, well, hey, it's fun to come back and see everybody. And you know what? This is a vibrant rural community that we ought to be really proud of. There's a lot to do. Vibrant downtown, town square, and a fun football game coming up this afternoon and a reason to get together with friends.
Well, and you used to play, so there's another reason to be here.
Yeah. I do miss those days occasionally, but I can tell you they're getting farther and farther behind me. But I'm excited to root on the Dutch today.
Well, you're in the middle of a tough campaign. Can you tell us how it's going?
We're 38 days from Election Day, and so Governor and I are splitting up the state and traveling all over the state, talking to Iowans about the great things that are going on in this state. And we're really proud of the progress that we've made. We're the number one state in the nation, but what that really means is that means there's opportunities for Iowans. Probably our biggest challenge the state faces right now is that we've got more jobs than we have people to fill them. Now, as problems go, that's probably a pretty good problem to have, but it is a challenge nonetheless. We are at 2.5% unemployment, which is an 18-year low. It's the second lowest in the country, but it also means that our major employers are struggling to find workers with the skills that they need to fill those positions. How much economic productivity are we leaving on the table by allowing literally tens of thousands of positions to go unfilled all across our state? So we're talking about the investments that we're making in job training, the investments that we're making in education, the way that we're aligning K-12 education with job training, and the investments that we've made in STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. As a matter of fact, I'll be back here already on Monday for the Future Ready Iowa Summit that we're holding here in Pella, talking about ways that we can continue to better align our education with what our workforce needs are going forward.
A low unemployment numbers is pretty interesting, but when you compare it to the national discussion regarding immigration, I mean, there's some people would say there's a solution if we did like we did in the past and bring in qualified immigrants willing to work in at the jobs where we need them. Do you see a solution there, or are we just going to continue the hard line, no immigrants, despite the fact that they could be a great boost to the economy?
I think we need a multifaceted approach. So at 2.5% unemployment, we've got about 42,000, 43,000 Iowans that are unemployed and looking for work. If you go out on the iowajobs.org website, which is maintained by Iowa Workforce Development, almost every day there's usually over 60,000 jobs available in our state, in every corner of our state, at every skill level, at every wage level. So compare those numbers. 42,000 people looking for work, 60-plus thousand jobs available every day. There's a delta there where we need to figure out how we can keep more Iowans here or recruit more Iowans. And I think that comprehensive immigration reform can be a part of that. But I also think that part of it is making connections with Iowans younger and younger, earlier in their K-12 education. A great example of that is right here in Pella. Vermeer Manufacturing has a high school level apprenticeship program where they're connecting high school students with job opportunities at Vermeer. By the time those students walk across the stage at their high school graduation, they receive their high school degree. Depending on what classes they take, they may be receiving their community college associate's degree, and they have a guaranteed job for a year at Vermeer as a welder. And after that year, they have completed their apprenticeship training, and they're in a position to either continue work at Vermeer or go work somewhere else, potentially in the state of Iowa, with their credentials that they've achieved. So what I'm saying here is, it needs to be multifaceted. We need to keep Iowans here and do a better job of making those connections with the opportunities that are right in their hometowns. But we also need Iowa to be an attractive place for anyone to come and seek their opportunities, because there are great opportunities here in Iowa.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg. Well, and you and I have both talked to employers that will also tell us that there are people out there, and this is this is really sad to say, is that there are people that could fill the positions, but they can't pass the drug tests. I mean, that's just a tragedy, isn't it?
It's very sad. And, you know, in Iowa, we need to continue working to make sure that folks see the opportunity and don't fall into that trap of abusing drugs and trying things. You know, we've got challenges with meth. We've got challenges with opioids. Luckily, we haven't had as serious a problem with opioids as some of the eastern states have, but we're taking steps in the right direction to try and prevent that from happening, because you just see that wave potentially coming here. So this past legislative session, a bill was passed that will help tackle the opioid crisis and seeing it as a rising problem in the state of Iowa. So working on use of the prescription monitoring program so that pharmacists can know if somebody is shopping prescriptions all across. Working with to educate doctors about ways that they can avoid overprescribing opioids and try to avoid that addiction issue at the very beginning. And so, you know, if we can keep Iowans out of that trap of addiction, there are great opportunities for them. So let's connect them with the education and the skills that they need. And, you know, Iowa needs to be a place where even if you make a mistake, you can have a second chance. This is something that the governor talks very passionately about. And as a matter of fact, she spoke at a high school equivalency degree graduation at the Mitchellville Women's Prison, first governor to ever do anything like that. And she was able to talk to them with credibility and say, you know what, you can improve yourself. These mistakes don't have to define you. You have already attained some of the skills that you need. Get out there, support yourself, support your family, and start a new life. You can have a second chance in the state of Iowa.
One of the challenges to your campaign is something that is a legacy of the Branstad administration that you inherited, and that's the privatization of Medicaid. Only 28% of Iowans think that's working and that we need to do something else. What specifically do you have to offer? I mean, that's only 28%. That's quite a challenge.
Well, one of the things that we need to do a better job of doing is talking with Iowans about why that was the right decision. And it was the right decision for two main reasons: financially and for the quality of care for our most vulnerable Iowans. From a financial perspective, the costs of our Medicaid program were spiraling out of control. Let me back that up with some numbers. In 2005, Medicaid, the Medicaid portion of our general fund budget was about 9% of our general fund budget. In recent years, it's been more like 18, 19% of our general fund budget. So it was cannibalizing our ability to make investments in other important things like K-12 education, like water quality, like job training, like the Iowa tuition grant, which is very important to Central College and other private colleges, spiraling out of control. On top of that, there wasn't any accountability for the funding. In fact, it was so bad that they called it pay and chase. In other words, pay the claims and try to chase down the fraud after the fact. Hundreds of millions of dollars of fraud in that system. On top of that, there wasn't any accountability for the care that was provided. So if somebody showed up 15 straight times at an emergency room for something that wasn't an emergency room need, there were certainly no consequences to that, and there was nobody who was overseeing that. With the transition to managed care, we addressed both of those problems by working to bend the cost curve down and also have accountability for care for our most vulnerable Iowans. And that's what privatization is about. That's what the managed care companies are hired to do. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But the folks who are criticizing us, the Democrats on the other side, they don't have any plan. When they say they're going to go back to the other, to the old system, they have no plan for how they're going to get those costs under control. They don't address it at all. They're either going to have to talk about cutting services or greatly increasing the resources that the state has to do that, meaning raising taxes. On top of that, they don't have any plan for managing the care, bringing accountability to the care that is provided to the most vulnerable Iowans. And so those are two very fatal flaws in their critique of this move. And so it was the right thing to do. Now, let me also give credit to the governor here. The governor, in her biggest stage that she's got, her condition of the state address back in January, said, you know what, mistakes were made in this process. We moved too fast, moved too quickly, maybe moved too much of the system into managed care at one time. And she said, we've got to do better, and we've got to take steps to do better. And she's done it. Let me just give you some quick examples. We've got a new director of Department of Human Services. We've got a new director of Medicaid. One of the main criticisms of the transition was that the actuarial assumptions that were made, meaning the projections on how much money it was going to take, were wrong. And so we hired a new actuary, and now we're following that actuary's recommendations to make sure that the system is properly funded. And we've got new contracts with the managed care companies to make sure that there's accountability so that they aren't gaming the system or aren't slow paying claims or some of the other criticisms that we've heard. Those are four major steps right there to try to put the Medicaid system back on the right track. But it's absolutely critical because we need to have accountability for the care, and we've got to make sure that the money is used properly and that we're trying to bend the cost curve down, because here's what it comes down to. These are the most vulnerable Iowans in our state. These are folks who we need to be able to look at them in the eye and look at their parents in the eye and be able to say, this is going to be a system that exists 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. A system that was growing financially as quickly as the old system was not sustainable.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg. Now, I sat in a room the other day with five or six home health care providers, and they were talking about how the system isn't working for them, in part because of something you addressed, and that was the payments. They were insisting that they were being slow paid. One of them wasn't giving himself a salary because they just weren't being paid fast enough, and they have people they have to pay, and they were worried about they were going to have to close their businesses. What would you say to them?
Well, what I'd say to them is we're working to make the system better, and that we have an open door policy to come and talk to us about the issues, and we can see if we can get them resolved. But I'll point back to what I just talked about, accountability built into the contracts with the managed care companies to make sure that they aren't doing things like that, like slow paying for cash flow purposes and all these other critiques. But the second main thing is that we're following the actuaries' projections in terms of how much money is needed in the system. And so if their allegation is that the managed care companies are slow paying because there isn't enough money in the system, well, we just dedicated an additional $100 million into the system. And for context, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, as a matter of state dollars that are going into this. When you're talking about 18% of a $7.48 billion budget, we're talking about billions of dollars. So we're putting more money into it, but yet we're still being criticized. We're still being criticized by the Democrats. They, as far as I'm concerned, Democrats can't have it both ways. Democrats can't say that it's an underfunded system, which is causing the managed care companies to slow pay, and then at the same time criticize us when we follow the actuaries' projections and say that this system needs additional funding. And so we're to the bottom line question, we're taking steps to address that problem, whether it's accountability in the contracts, whether it's additional funding into the system. But we need to stay on a path so that Medicaid is actually sustainable in the long run.
What else do you want our listeners to know today?
Well, I want to mention the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa initiative, which she has asked me to lead. The governor's a product of small town Iowa. She grew up in St. Charles in south central Iowa. I grew up in Haywarden, which is in the far northwest corner of the state, and of course was educated at Central College right here in Pella. So small towns and rural Iowa is a part of who we are. It's a part of how we approach challenges and approach issues. And so we're really passionate about making sure that there's opportunity and prosperity in every corner of our state. Because you might say we come from those corners. So we're working on an initiative to address three of the biggest issues that we hear about as we travel the state in rural Iowa. The first is housing. We have a very different type of housing crisis in rural Iowa than the nation faced 10 years ago. We actually have a shortage of quality market rate housing in the rural parts of our state. So we're going to see how we can improve the housing stock in the state of Iowa. The second big thing is leadership. It's intangible, but it's so important. It's a difference maker in our small towns. How can we encourage and empower local leaders to lay out a vision for their communities and then execute on it? And the third thing is connectivity, which is so important to everything in our society today, whether that's education, whether it's agriculture, whether it's business, you name it. But most importantly, if we want young people to be living in our small towns and to consider moving back to Iowa, they've got to be connected. It's just that simple. Technology natives since birth aren't going to live somewhere if they can't be connected while they're living there. So our task forces are tackling those issues. In 2 weeks, we'll be back in Pella with one of the task forces, the Growing Rural Iowa Task Force, which is working on the on leadership and strategic planning. We'll be meeting in Pella the week of October 8th. And the exact date escapes me, but I'm sure we'll make sure you and your listeners are aware of that when it comes.
Thanks to Adam Gregg for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.